Welcome back, and in this lesson we're building a tape haze edit from scratch in Ableton Live 12, a subweight roller stack for drum and bass that feels heavy, warm, a little degraded, and always moving. This is the kind of bass idea that belongs in a proper roller drop, not a giant single preset, not an overcomplicated sound design monster, but a layered system that gives you weight, texture, and controlled grit while still leaving space for the kick, snare, and break. The goal is simple. Make the low end feel alive without turning the whole mix into mud. We're going to work at 174 BPM, because that's the classic DNB pocket, and we'll build this around an 8-bar loop so we can hear phrase movement quickly. If you're following along, start with a straightforward drum foundation first. Keep it basic. Snare on 2 and 4, a kick pattern that supports the groove, and maybe a light top loop or chopped break layer for movement. The reason I want the drums set early is because bass decisions make way more sense when they're reacting to a real groove. In drum and bass, the bass doesn't live alone. It has a conversation with the drums. So first, we build the sub on a new MIDI track, load operator. For a pure sub, operator is one of the cleanest choices in live. Set oscillator to a sine wave, keep the filter basically off, and make sure the amp envelope is nice and simple. Fast attack, full sustain, short release if needed. Nothing fancy. The sub's job is to hold the foundation, not show off. Write a bass line that supports the drums instead of crowding them. A good roller bass line usually feels restrained, with space built into it on purpose. Try holding a root note across part of the bar, then moving briefly at the end, or answering the snare with a short pickup. Leave some silence too. That's a big one. In heavy DNB, gaps are part of the weight. If everything is playing all the time, you lose impact. Now make the sub mono. Drop a utility after operator and set width to 0. That keeps the low end locked in the center, which is exactly what you want. If the sub feels too hot, pull it down with utility gain instead of just cranking the instrument. A good starting target is around minus 12 to minus 8 dB peak before extra processing. Clean, controlled, and ready to support the mix. Next, we build the mid-bass layer. Duplicate the MIDI to a second track, or load another synth-like Wavedable, analog, or another operator instance. This layer gives the stack character and lets the bass read on smaller speakers. If the sub is the body, this is the attitude. A solid starting point is a saw or pulse-based sound with a little detune, but keep it under control. You don't want a giant wide reese taking over the whole arrangement. Add a low-pass filter and keep the useful range somewhere in the low mids. Then add some drive or saturation so it has harmonics and presence. For movement, use a slow filter sweep or gentle modulation. You can automate the cutoff manually, or use auto-filter if you want a subtle LFO feel. The point here is motion, not chaos. Think slow shifts for tension and save faster movement for fills or transitions. If the mid layer is too obvious in solo, it's probably too loud in the mix. This layer should support the sub, not replace it. Now comes the tape haze character layer, which is where the edit gets its identity. You can create this by duplicating the mid layer and processing it differently, or by making a separate texture track. The idea is to simulate a slightly worn, hazy, tape-like quality without wrecking the low end. A good chain is saturator, echo, redux if you want a bit of digital degradation, EQ8, and utility. Here's the key move, high-pass this layer aggressively. Usually somewhere around 120 to 200 HC is a good start. We want haze and color, not extra mud. Add some soft clipping or drive and saturator, maybe a little bit of bit reduction if you want that grainy edge, and keep echo very subtle and filtered. This layer should be felt more than heard. It's the atmosphere around the bass, the ghost in the machine. If you want this to feel more authentic, resample it. Print a few bars of the bass stack to audio, then chop the best moments back into the arrangement. That printed quality makes the whole thing feel more like a real club edit and less like a static sound design loop. It also gives you a more deliberate, performed feel, which is exactly what we want for an edit-style bass line. Now we shape the whole stack like a system. Group the layers into a rack or at least into a clean folder-style workflow so you can manage them together. Each layer should have a clear job. The sub handles the foundation. The mid layer handles movement and audibility. The haze layer handles texture and grime. If any of those starts doing someone else's job, simplify it. Use EQ8 to split responsibility. Keep the sub clean and centered. High pass the mid layer enough so it doesn't fight the sub, usually around 80 to 120 HE depending on the sound. And high pass the haze layer even higher, around 120 to 200 HE. This is a huge part of keeping the low end powerful. In DNB, bass gets messy when too many layers are trying to own the same octave. Once you carve the rolls properly, the stack can actually sound bigger without getting louder. Also, check the width on each layer. Sub stays mono. The mid can be the normal stereo width, or even slightly narrowed if it starts getting sloppy. The haze can be a little wider if it still stays out of the way, but always check it in mono while you're working. If the vibe survives in mono, it'll usually translate much better on a club system. Now let's make it feel like a roller. A proper roller bass line doesn't just loop forever. It evolves in small steps. A good rule is to make a tiny change every 2 bars and a clearer change every 4 or 8 bars. That might mean a note variation, a small rhythmic shift, a different ending note, or a short fill into the next phrase. For example, bars 1 and 2 can establish the core pulse. Bars 3 and 4 can bring in a slightly different note or a small pickup. Bars 5 and 6 can pull one event out to create space. Bars 7 and 8 can add a fill, a pitch drop, or a filtered swell into the next section. That kind of arrangement keeps the bass line alive without overcomplicating it. And this is where the drum conversation matters again. Leave space around snare hits. Let the bass answer the drum rather than crowd it. Sometimes the best thing you can do is remove a bass hit right before a snare. That little moment of silence can hit harder than adding another sound. Now automate for the edit feel. This is the difference between a loop and a proper DNB phrase. Automate filter cutoff on the mid or haze layer. Push saturator drive a little harder at the end of a phrase. Bring echo dry slash wet up for a transition, then pull it back. Nudge the utility gain up by a fraction of a dB into a fill. These moves should be subtle. You're not trying to create a wobbling house bass. You're trying to create pressure, tension, and movement inside a locked groove. A good trick is to open the mid layer slightly in the last half beat before a snare fill, then pull it back down when the drop lands again. Or thin out the haze for the first couple bars, then let it bloom back in once the groove is established. That contrast makes the bass feel more intentional and more dangerous. After that, we glue the stack to the drums. Put the bass layers through a group and use gentle bus shaping. A glue compressor with a low ratio, a fairly slow attack, and just a couple dB of gain reduction is often enough. We're not trying to squash the life out of it. We just want the stack to breathe together. If the kick is getting buried, use subtle sidechain compression keyed from the kick. Fast attack, tuned release, and only enough reduction to let the kick speak clearly. In drum and bass, the bass should breathe, not pump like a house track. Always level match your bypass checks here. That's an important teacher note. Sometimes a dirtier version sounds better only because it's louder. So compare at the same loudness and make the decision with your ears, not your ego. Once the stack is feeling good, print it to auto. This is where the edit really starts to feel finished. Record the bass performance, then chop it up into an audio track and make a few micro edits. Trim tails, add a tiny gap before a snare, reverse a short transition, duplicate a phrase and remove one note, or introduce a tiny pitch drop at the end of an 8-bar phrase. This printed, cut-up approach makes the bass feel like something that was performed, captured, and then reworked by hand. That's the tape haze vibe, clean enough to hit hard, degraded enough to feel interesting, and edited enough to feel alive. A few quick reminders while you work. Keep the subs simple and boring on purpose. Let the movement live in the mid and haze layers. Don't oversaturate everything at once. Add dirt in stages. Watch for mud in the low mids, and if the stack starts to blur, remove energy with targeted EQ cuts before you reach for more compression. And keep checking the full drum context, because that's where this kind of bass really either works or falls apart. If you want to push it darker, try tiny pitch shifts on the mid layer, or add a very gentle detune movement over 1 or 2 bars. If you want more tension, use a filtered lift section, where the mid layer opens up only in the last 2 bars of a phrase. If you want a more haunted version, resample the stack twice, print it clean, then reprocess the print lightly with Redux, Saturator, and EQ8, and blend it back under the main version. So by the end of this lesson, you should have a bass rack that gives you 3 clear jobs: a mono sub for the foundation, a moving mid layer for character, and a haze layer for worn texture. You'll also have a phrase that behaves like a reedal roller, small variations, controlled grit, and a groove that locks to the drums instead of fighting them. That's the whole idea. Heavy, warm, slightly degraded, and constantly moving. A proper tape haze edit. Now go build the stack, print it, chop it, and make it roll.